From the City of Angels off the Pacific Ocean, good morning, good evening, wherever you may be across the nation, around the world. I'm George Norrie, and welcome to Coast AM. Next hour, Joshua Warren joins us. Pet ghosts, just to name a few of the subjects we'll be talking with Joshua about. Now, this is one strange story. A renowned black magic practitioner performed a voodoo ritual to jinx President George W. Bush and his entourage while he was on a brief visit to Indonesia. The practitioner slit the throat of a goat, a small snake, and stabbed a black crow in the chest, stirred their blood with spice and broccoli before drinking the potion, and smeared some of it on his face. He said the jinx would send spirits to possess Secret Service personnel guarding Mr. Bush and left them in a trance, leading them to falsely think the president was under attack, thus eventually causing chaos in the palace there in Indonesia. Strange, strange, strange. Indonesia, the world's most populous Muslim country, with many still practicing rituals, including black magic, that predate Islam's arrival. A man was arrested at Detroit Metropolitan Airport after officials say they found him carrying more than $78,000 in cash and a laptop computer containing information about nuclear materials and cyanide. He's an unemployed U.S. citizen. He was arrested after a dog caught the scent of narcotics on cash that he was carrying. When agents asked him if he had any cash to declare, he said he had $18,000. But when the agents checked his luggage, guess what? They found an additional $59,000. When they scrolled through his laptop, they found the mysterious files as well. At a court hearing, he was ordered held in custody until at least Monday at the earliest, the request of prosecutors. Iran is taking the final step in its nuclear program, according to its president. And while he did not elaborate, Iran has said that it will continue its program despite a UN effort to stop uranium enrichment, which Western nations believe is aimed at building nuclear weapons. In a moment, Jerome Corsi joins us as we talk about this situation, because it really is continuing to heat up. In Massachusetts, a former trash collector was convicted in the rape and murder of a fashion writer who was found lying in a pool of blood in her Cape Cod home with her two-year-old daughter clinging to her body. Christopher McCowan, 34-year-old, was found guilty of first-degree murder and the other charges in the January 2002 killing of Krista Worthington, 46-year-old, by a jury that deadlocked after 5 days and was forced to start deliberations all over again after one member was replaced. We had an open-line caller calling us on this a couple days ago. At least eight people were confirmed dead after a tornado tore through a tiny North Carolina town early Thursday, as severe thunderstorms battered the southeast for a second day, leaving thousands there without power and at least 12 storm-related deaths. PlayStation 3. Think about this now. How long would you wait outside to buy one of these devices, which are going for, I think, around $600 more on eBay? Some people have been waiting 3 to 4 days to buy these. I guess they're in limited supply. They're brand new. In New York, for example, there were lines all around the stores just to buy this thing. In Los Angeles, same thing is happening. And I guess it's happening all over the country. People wanting to buy this for Christmas. Man, I wouldn't wait 3 days to buy any kind of a toy. In a moment, we'll check in with Jerome Corsi as we talk about this real tough situation with Iran. In a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Jerry Corsi received a PhD from Harvard University in political science. He's written many books and articles. He's a regular guest here on Coast to Coast. He received a top secret clearance from the Agency for International Development, where he assisted in providing anti-terrorism hostage survival training to embassy personnel. Several years ago, Dr. Corsi helped found and launch the Iran Freedom Foundation, which was a not-for-profit educational and charitable organization established to educate the public about the Islamic Republic of Iran and to promote freedom in the region. We're going to keep Jerry for the entire hour tonight and open up the phone lines at the midpoint to give you an opportunity to talk with him on a subject, Jerry, that I think, and you know the way I feel in this intuitive sense that I have, that something's going to happen with Iran. There's just too much saber rattling. Ahmadinejad is just making too many declarations, and I don't think Israel is going to sit pat much longer. What do you think?
Well, I agree with you, George. It's an honor to be back with you. And Ahmadinejad continues to give these speeches. He gave another one this week saying that, again, Israel needs to be wiped from the map. There's going to be a great war that will cause the destruction of Israel. Every time Ahmadinejad gives one of these speeches as head of state, it's virtually, George, a declaration of war against Israel. And with this past week, at the same time, the International Atomic Energy Agency announcing that they've now found that Iran has highly enriched uranium traces and plutonium traces at their nuclear sites. That really signals that Iran is on a fast track to being able to enrich uranium, very likely to weapons grade. And this entire week has been extremely alarming with where Iran is headed.
Jerry, we've been talking about this now for several months. I'm really concerned about the inactivity of the United Nations that should have acted on this months ago. They still haven't made a decision what they're going to do.
Well, that's right, George. And, you know, I commend you with bringing this to your audience. You've been in the lead on this, George, for almost 2 years now, covering the story as it's developed. And we've been right on track with where it's headed. In the Security Council, you've got two permanent members. You've got Russia. And Russia just last year sold $1 billion of a missile defense system to Iran, which Iran is putting around its nuclear establishment. And China did a $600 billion, with a B, billion-dollar deal for oil and natural gas, which is going to make Iran probably the top supplier of oil and natural gas to China for decades. Now, with Iran being supported by both Russia and China on the Security Council, we're not going to get anywhere with sanctions on the Security Council. It's a waste of time.
Israel will not allow Iran to finish its nuclear facility to develop the potential of an atomic bomb with what Ahmadinejad has been saying. They will not allow it. And I don't even think the United States can tell them not to do anything about it.
George, I agree with you entirely. You know, after I wrote Atomic Iran, the first book on Iran, I went to Israel and addressed the Knesset, the parliament in Israel. I've been in close touch with the Ministry of Defense and the various military groups and intelligence groups in Israel since then. And we call it the Samson option. I mean, it's like Samson taking down the temple to kill the Philistines in the Bible, even though Samson knew the temple coming down would also kill him. And George, you know I am totally not wanting. I'm opposed to a war in the Middle East.
Me too. And I want to address that, Jerry, as soon as you're done with your statement, because every time you and I get together, I get a flurry of emails from people who think that we are warmongers, and I want to address that. But go ahead, finish your statement.
It couldn't be farther from the truth, George, because both you and I are on the same page. You know, I walked 200 miles in 2005 for peace in Israel, walking from the Liberty Bell to Washington, D.C. It took about a month with the with the Iranian expatriates for freedom in their country. And I've urged and continue to urge the State Department to support these expatriate Iranians who can get their country back. I don't want a war. Now, the statement I was going to finish, George, is that, you know, we're not either one of us, you or I, saying we want war. We're saying that with the failure of the Bush administration to be able to deal with the situation diplomatically and with Iran's determination to continue enriching uranium, to develop their Shahab 3 missile, which they just again test-fired about 10 days ago. This is a missile which can hit Tel Aviv, and it's now solid fuel. You know, it's a showdown. I wrote the second book, George, Showdown to Nuclear Iran, with Michael Evans. And I've been just trying everything I can do. I've been writing in WorldNet Daily and Human Events Online to try to say to the world that we're going to have a war unless we can come to some diplomatic resolution of this crisis. And there's yet time, George, for a diplomatic solution to be possible. And neither you or I want a war. And the listeners really have to understand that we're both saying that sincerely, and we're both concerned that a war could happen if nothing else is done.
And the biggest danger of all this, Jerry, is the fact that Iran, through Ahmadinejad, if they get a nuclear bomb capability, they will, without any question, without any doubt, begin to give this to terrorists.
Well, that's right, George. I mean, they're right now, Iran is probably giving Hezbollah in Lebanon about $250 million a year. That's what I calculate. And in this recent war with Hezbollah against Israel, the second Lebanon war, the rockets that Hezbollah sent onto Israel from Lebanon are documented to have been supplied by Iran via Syria. And also, Iran is now funding Hamas, another terrorist organization which has controlled the Palestinian Authority and is now in the Gaza Strip and is also firing rockets onto Israel. So Ahmadinejad and the regime within Iran continue to be the terror masters, and also sending terrorists across into Iraq. The improvised explosive devices that we and the British have examined and determined are of not Israeli, they're Iranian manufacture and Iranian design. And that scares Israel, because Israel sees that Iran today is a terror master. And it's very difficult for Israel to believe that Iran is only seeking nuclear energy for peaceful purposes, when Ahmadinejad continues to make these speeches saying that Israel's got to be wiped off the map, and Iran holds military exercises where they fire Shahab 3s and demonstrate they can hit Tel Aviv.
Absolutely. You see, what the mainstream media in this country, Jerry, does not do is they don't broadcast Ahmadinejad's speeches in Farsi before the population that he speaks before, where he calls for the annihilation of Israel. And that would include us, too.
Well, that's right, George. And you are reading, as I am, the sources that go into translating from Farsi what Ahmadinejad is saying to his own people. There are Iranian sites that translate constantly. I encourage the listeners to go to memri.org, memri.org. It's a Middle Eastern research institute that translates Ahmadinejad's speeches and archives them. Read them in a direct and honest translation from Farsi, and you'll see that Ahmadinejad is talking exactly like Hitler did. And he's a head of state. Ahmadinejad is the president. So, you know, the history in the world would say you cannot disregard when a head of state like Hitler or Ahmadinejad is saying these wildly anti-Semitic statements and threatening Israel. It has to be taken seriously.
If he was not in office, if the mullahs were tossed out, arrested, put in jail, or what have you, would you support nuclear facilities in Iran, or is it just too dangerous now?
Absolutely. If Iran can have nuclear facilities for peaceful purposes, I would support that. All Iran has got to do is work with the International Atomic Energy Agency and allow it be transparent, their nuclear program. Russia has offered to produce the nuclear fuel, the enriched uranium, for Iran. I believe the world would even allow Iran to produce the nuclear fuel under proper safeguards. And I would certainly encourage the Bush administration to go into direct negotiations to make that possible. If Iran wants to be a responsible country, I believe they should have nuclear fuel for peaceful purposes. But as long as Iran continues to make these belligerent statements against Israel and fund terrorists like Hezbollah and Hamas, Ahmadinejad is undermining his own credibility even those who want to support Ahmadinejad have a difficult time justifying these ridiculously belligerent statements that he continues to make.
The American Scott Ritter, who was a former UN's weapons inspector during the Iraqi situation years ago, has come out with his own book now, Jerry, and he basically challenges our views that Iran is peaceful and that they should be allowed to do what they're going to do. I think that's a dangerous position to be in, isn't it?
It is, because Scott Ritter is underestimating the threats. My challenge both to Scott Ritter and to Ahmadinejad is, it's very simple. Let Ahmadinejad not make these wild and ridiculous statements. If Ahmadinejad said, look, we'll accept Israel in the region, which is the sticking point, I believe that a two-state solution could be worked out in Palestine and Israel, where you could have the Palestinian Authority, including Hamas, have their own state, their own government, and coexist with Israel. I think even the Olmert regime, the Olmert prime minister of Israel, would also proceed not only the Gaza is already given back, but if Ahmadinejad were to relax and Hamas to come to the table, I think even the West Bank could be returned to the Palestinian Authority on this, roadmap to a two-state solution. I'm not for a war. I think, George, even the war in Iraq, I want to see the United States get out of. I don't think we can continue to be there and accomplish any goals that are positive.
Well, and here's our problem, Jerry. The mandate, just when you look at this midterm election, has already been set. The majority of the voters have decided they are tired with the way this Iraq situation is being handled. This was the major issue. Anybody who tied their flag to President Bush was basically tossed out of office. Not everybody, but some of them. There's been a switch now in the Senate and the House. Americans have said, we've had enough. We believe we were suckered into Iraq. We want out of this situation. I think it's that situation which has a lot of Americans concerned about going into Iran, and that's the danger part, because it's the Iranian situation that truly is the dangerous situation. It wasn't the Iraqi situation. So we basically, I think, severely hurt our efforts to convince the American people what's going on in Iran. We had the support in Afghanistan. We failed with that when we didn't get bin Laden, and we dropped the ball on that. Going into Iraq the way we did was a disaster. And I think a lot of Americans now feel as if we're being used again. Maybe they think we want Iranian oil now, because I truly believe that's part of the reasons for the Iraqi situation. It now has tainted everything, Jerry.
Well, George, I agree. And I think the problem is that if we'd gone in quickly to Iraq and gotten out after Saddam Hussein was gone, okay, we got Saddam Hussein, let's get out. This idea that we're going to establish democracy in Iraq, as noble as George Bush may think it is not founded in reality, George, because the cultures in the Middle East are not receptive to the Western idea of democracy. We have to understand that the Iraqi people, and there's really three people in Iraq. It's the Kurds in the north, which is a cultural group, an ethnic group, the Sunnis in the Sunni triangles, and the Shiites in the south of Iraq. They're really three very separate and distinct groups. And the idea that we're going to have a American-style constitutional democracy that's going to work there, as noble as it is, I don't think Ben Franklin and Thomas Jefferson could have gone over there and done it. And we've got to give up that idea. I'd like the Bush administration to give up the idea that we have the knowledge or the intelligence to dictate anything that should happen in the Middle East. I mean, the reason I've been supporting the Iranian expatriates, why I walked 200 miles, George, with all of these Iranians, was because I believe the Iranians need to self-determine Iran, and we're not going to pose a solution. The problem is, though, by going into Iraq the way we've done, we're not dealing with Iran, and Iran is really the critical problem in the Middle
East. Right, and most of the Iranians, as you know, Jerry, want to live a Western lifestyle.
Well, that's right, George. Look, in California, there's over a million expatriate Iranians. They're highly successful people, highly intelligent. You know, they adapt well. They become Americans when they can. They have productive families, productive businesses. That's the case of the Iranian people worldwide. Ahmadinejad has hijacked Iran, and Iran and the Iranian people could get it back themselves for freedom and a productive lifestyle.
See, I think he is a mouthpiece for the mullahs, don't you?
Yes, I do.
Stay with us, Jerry. We're going to take some calls when we come back. We'll open up the phone lines. Jerry Corsi, our guest for the rest of this hour, before we bring in Joshua Warren to talk about pet ghosts at the top of the hour. We'll be right back. Well, the program tomorrow night originates at Ghost Fest on the Haunted Queen Mary in Long Beach, California. Come on out there and watch the show. Yeah, it is free to come in there. And then on Saturday at 1 o'clock, we'll have a book signing for those of you who want me to sign the book, Worker in the Light. So it should be a great, entertaining weekend. A little skittish about the old haunted ship, to tell you the truth, because I'm told it is one of the scariest places you can be. We'll be back in a moment. We'll take your phone calls with our special guest, Jerome Corsi, author of the book Atomic Iran, in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And Jerry Corsi, our guest this hour. Jerry, I've already got producer Tom on finding a Farsi interpreter so we can go through some of these speeches of Ahmadinejad and have them interpret them. I think the American public needs to hear what a leader of a country is saying.
That's a great idea, George. And I think that you'll find one in California who'll be quite good. And again, I encourage listeners to go to memri.org, M-E-M-R-I.org, where they have translated many of the Ahmadinejad speeches, and very accurately.
All right, to the phones we go. Let's go east of the Rockies. Welcome to Coast. Hi there.
Hello?
Yeah, go ahead, sir.
Yeah, okay, I've got a few questions. If Israel attacks Iran, and Russia has already backed Iran with billions of dollars, Japan has backed Iran with billions of dollars. Why wasn't you feel that Russia would give support and additional arms to Iran in the face of that? And the United States already has a problem there in North Korea, already a problem there in Taiwan with China just waiting for an excuse. Why in the world is it because an attack on Israel becomes an attack on the United States?
Well, I think I think it would be a very bad idea if Israel attacked Iran. And largely, the caller is pointing out some, you know, of the pitfalls. An attack against Iran by Israel, and Israel might come to the point where they feel their own survival is at stake. They could wake up and see an atomic 9/11 over Tel Aviv. And when Israel gets to that point, they've said never again.
Jerry, if I were the head of a country, and I knew that an enemy of mine was building was moving toward building a nuclear bomb, and I do not believe it is just for peaceful purposes. I believe they are building a nuclear bomb. And then the president of that country said, "We want to annihilate you." I don't think they have much of a choice but to do something.
It's extremely difficult to sit there and not react and to feel in fear. And, George, the primary lesson in World War II, which has shaped the consciousness in Israel, is that the Jews in Europe waited for the world to come to their defense against Hitler, and the world did nothing. And so the Jews learned in the Warsaw Ghetto Uprising, when they finally took arms themselves, that, you know, the Germans could be killed. And it was that never again consciousness that led to the creation of Israel.
Yes, and the biggest mistake that this planet made, and that includes Israel, is the way they treated the Palestinians when all this was going on.
There's no question about that, George. And, you know, the Palestinians, I think, with their legitimate issues, need to have a state. And I think anyone, including, you know, even the Bush administration, is at the point of saying a two-state solution is the only way this issue is ever going to be resolved. And when you look at the number of Jews that there are in the Middle East compared to the overall and overwhelming Islamic populations. I think solutions to this can be figured out, and Ahmadinejad should stop saying he wants to wipe Israel off the face of the earth. That's only going to produce a fearful reaction where Israel has to contemplate that as soon as Ahmadinejad gets nuclear weapons capability, then Israel is going to be forced to think they have to do a preemptive strike, which will be the worst thing that could happen.
That'll get everybody involved.
Yes.
I mean, we are teetering. I hate doom and gloom. We are teetering on World War III.
That's right, George. In a nuclear war just around the corner in our lifetimes, just around the corner. And there are so many things that creatively could be done.
We got the Chinese stalking with a submarine, a U.S. aircraft carrier, the Kitty Hawk. We don't even know about it until that sub surfaces, which is unbelievable. I mean, it's almost as if these other powers are testing us in the event something happens.
Well, that's right, George. In North Korea now detonating a nuclear explosion and validating that Iran sent military observers to North Korea that were there during that detonation. So you have to begin to worry, you know, if North Korea and Iran are continuing to share information and advancing Iran along the curve to more quickly get Iran to the nuclear weapons capability. I mean, these are the kinds of events which trigger, you know, the concern and apprehension in Israel and are not moving forward to a kind of peaceful and really constructive solution to the problem, which is yet possible. It could yet happen. I mean, I've been encouraging the State Department now for 2 years to take the funds they've been given and acts like this Iran Support Freedom Act,
mm-hmm.
and apply them to the, you know, Iranian expatriates around the world who want to cause positive change within Iran. We did not have to fire a shot to get South Africa to drop apartheid. Why do we have to go to war with Iran when there's still many, many things we could do to begin working with this regime and find peaceful solutions to the problem?
Well, the clock is ticking on
this
one, Jerry.
Every instant it's ticking. And, George, every time Ahmadinejad goes out and gives another one of these extremely radical speeches and says he's going to annihilate Israel, wipe it off the map, we're ticking one tick closer to nuclear war.
Absolutely. I mean, there is that possibility that the guy is nothing but a little pipsqueak who's doing nothing but opening up his mouth. But who wants to take that chance?
Well, George, he's a highly intelligent guy. Ahmadinejad is a doctorate level. He has a PhD.
He's an engineer.
Traffic engineer. And he lives a simple life. You know, he's not like the mullahs who've gotten rich off of the Iranian people. Ahmadinejad lives in a small apartment in Tehran. He drives an old car. But yet he believes in this radical belief that there's a Mahdi, this 12th Imam, who in 941 A.D. is the 12th grandson of the Prophet Muhammad, went down a well. And it's going to take an apocalypse to get the Mahdi to come out of the well. And when he does, Shiite Islam triumphs worldwide.
Jerry, I bet he drives that old car and wears that same suit, and he's always got that little cream-colored trench coat on when he walks around, but I'd love to see his bank account.
Well, you know, I would too, George. But, you know, Ahmadinejad has been a radical. He's been a zealot radical. And this is a guy who participated in the hostage takeover under Ayatollah Khomeini.
There was an interesting picture of him on WorldNet Daily.
I saw it.
It looked pretty close.
Oh, it looked virtually identical.
Considering it was 30-some years ago.
Oh, the similarities in that photograph were remarkable. And Ahmadinejad did participate in the assassination squads with the Revolutionary Guard that went and killed expatriate Iranians around the world who were opposing the regime.
Mm-hmm.
This goes back into the 80s. So he is a zealot. He remains extremely close to the Revolutionary Guards and to the militia all through Iran. And Ahmadinejad is a dedicated zealot. Each time he spoke at the United Nations, two times, Ahmadinejad both times has ended his speech with a reference to the Mahdi and Ahmadinejad's dedication to bring the Mahdi back.
Let's go to our first-time caller line. You're on the air with us. Hello there.
Hi, George.
Yes, sir.
This is Anthony from Albany.
Yeah.
You know, every issue has two sides.
Absolutely.
And Jerome Corsi's been on Coast now three times in the last couple of weeks, and he always gives the one side of the issue. And I would challenge him to go on the air against Scott Ritter and Professor Juan Cole, who have a completely opposite view of his.
Let me tell you, I don't think you have to challenge him. I think if Scott Ritter will come on the show, Jerry will come on the show.
I'd love to. Let's get it set up, George. I'd love
to
do that.
We'll work on that.
In the interim, if I can be a sort of a bad ersatz Scott Ritter, I would just throw a few points out which might be pertinent. One is after the character assassination that we just heard of the president of Iran, I would just point out that Ritter says, read the Iranian constitution. The president has no power. He's a figurehead. The true power resides in the supreme leader and only in the supreme leader, and he has made no such outrageous statements.
Well, I would only take exception that Ayatollah Khamenei gave a speech about 10 days ago in which he did fully endorse everything that Ahmadinejad is doing. And also the real power behind the throne, Ayatollah Yazdi, is fully on the record of supporting Ahmadinejad. And, you know, there's strong Ayatollah support the positions that Ahmadinejad is taking, including the extreme ones against Israel.
And believe me, Anthony and Jerry, Ahmadinejad, whatever his name is, he is speaking on behalf of the mullahs. He's not talking himself.
They would replace him if he weren't.
One of the key points, though, you always miss, Mr. Corsi, you sort of dance around the technical issues involved in making nuclear bombs. They are still many thousand centrifuges short of being able to make a nuclear weapon, and you always skirt. There's a real science of making nuclear bombs, and you don't want to talk about that because the national intelligence estimate is 9 years at least before Iran, and that's a universal agreement across all U.S. government intelligence agencies.
And I've taken exception with that national intelligence estimate. I've said, first of all, they've missed every country going nuclear, starting with the Soviet Union. And secondly, I'm arguing that Iran has a more advanced centrifuge than the P2, and they're putting them in Natanz. And I agree with what Ahmadinejad said this week. By March, they'll have 3,000 of these advanced centrifuges within Natanz. And that will be all they need to get weapons-grade uranium highly enriched. They won't need 50 or 60,000 of the older centrifuges, which are typically needed in the cascade to get highly enriched uranium. I think Iran's ahead of the curve technically, and I've largely been predicting correctly these announcements that Iran was going to make.
You know, we all want peace. I mean, nobody wants war. Even my years in the Navy, I mean, I've never been a warmonger. But the problem is I don't hear anybody, and Anthony, even yourself, and we will try to get Scott Ritter, I don't hear anybody chastising who seems to be opposed to what we're talking about here, Jerry. I don't hear them chastising Ahmadinejad for saying what he's saying.
Exactly.
I don't understand it.
That's right. And also Juan Cole, I'd be happy to debate him, too. If Ahmadinejad would simply stop making these statements, he does not have to every time there's a Jerusalem Day, a Quds Day, in Tehran, which there just was again recently, Ahmadinejad does not have to take the platform and make yet another, belligerent speech.
You know what he can do? If he really wants to build a world, get on a plane, go to Tel Aviv, meet with Olmert and the other officials there, and start talking about peace. Instead of the rhetoric of we're going to annihilate you. I think in his particular case, you can't trust him anymore.
Well, and that's right. And Robert Gates, who now is the nominee to replace Donald Rumsfeld, has written, I've written about it in WorldNet Daily, he has written with Zbigniew Brzezinski a Council on Foreign Relations document that says, Robert Gates says, we should engage in constructive dialogue with Iran. Now, I think all Iran's got to do is wait until Gates gets in place and take him up on that statement. I think we could have direct talks between the Bush administration now and Ahmadinejad. If he quit making these belligerent statements, I think Ahmadinejad could get into international dialogue right now.
I'll tell you what, Jerry, there is such distrust of this administration, and I'm not going to get into the merits of that, but there is such distrust. It doesn't matter what these people do in these other foreign lands. Nobody's going to believe the real reasons for trying to stop them anymore.
Well, and that's right, George. And, you know, the Bush administration has had a very failed Middle East policy. I've criticized them now for 2 years. And, you know, people think I'm warmongering too, George. I'm not. I want to support the freedom movements within Iran by funding the expatriates who want to also support those movements. I want to engage in a constructive dialogue, whatever it takes, with Iran, with Ahmadinejad stopping talking about destroying Israel. And let's pursue first getting Iran nuclear energy for peaceful purposes. I think that could be accomplished by the world community in a very quick fashion.
Do you know what we could do on this planet, and we as a world, if we were peaceful with all of us and we really concentrated our resources and our tremendous God-given intelligence to feeding people and in housing people and giving them some kind of employment? They don't all have to make $50,000 a year in some of these third world nations, but give them some kind of standard of living so they're not living on $300 a year. I mean, we have the capability of building this planet into a Garden of Eden.
Well, that's right, George. You know, war is a failure. It's not the kind of thing anyone should reasonably advocate. And, George, walking 200 miles, and, you know, now I'm 60 years old, 200 miles took a toll on me. I didn't do it because I wanted war. I did it with the Iranians, who, you know, I deeply love. It's a wonderful, this is a long culture, which is one of the, you know, has more tradition and culture than virtually any other people on the face of the earth. And the Iranian people, the Persians originally, are a highly industrious, creative people that do not, as a nation, embrace Ahmadinejad. Ahmadinejad and this radical Islamic group have hijacked Persia. You know, in the Bible, Ezra, the book of Ezra, it was Cyrus the Great, the Persian, who gave the Jews got them out of Babylonian captivity, gave them what they needed to build the second temple, and Jews have lived peacefully within Iran for centuries.
I got to tell you, Jerry, this situation is heating up so much that you ever see a pressure cooker on a stove,
and
if you don't let the steam off, it's going to go.
That's right. And this week, the clock took a couple ticks closer to nuclear war.
I think so too. I think so too. Jerry, what's new? I know you've been traveling a lot.
Well, I'm in Washington, George. I've been working with Eagle Forum and Phyllis Schlafly. We're going to strongly oppose the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, which George Bush is pursuing to integrate and harmonize, you know, Canada and North and Mexico and the United States, creating a North American Union. And I've been meeting with government offices, I think, in the 110th Congress. We're going to make a major effort to have hearings to see if George Bush is on the track, which I believe he is, just like in Europe, as Europe went from a European common market to a European Union to the Euro. I think we're going from NAFTA to the Security and Prosperity Partnership of North America, which we have right now, to a North American Union, to the Amero, and I want to see it stopped.
I got to tell you, Jerry, you know why this program is going to be on until the end of time? Because these people on this planet continue to do so many outrageous things.
It never stops, George. It's a constant fight. And I think our founding fathers were right to say that freedom requires constant vigilance. And I commend you, George, for your excellent program in bringing these stories to your audience when the mainstream media won't touch them.
All right, Jerry, you take care. We'll be in touch.
A real honor to be with you. Thank you, George.
We'll try to get Scott Ritter and you together, okay?
Look forward to it.
Two go in, one comes out. I'll be back in a moment. Joshua Warren, our guest. I'll take off the hard news hat, and let's talk about some ghosts and pet ghosts and get into that now.